You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Would you all join me in our identity statement together? This is a reminder of the work of Christ and the transformational power of Christ in our lives. Our identity statement. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Thank you. And we have had a recent conversation about change and change of seasons, and how it's important for each of us to recognize that whenever there is a change, whenever there is a transition in our lives, that it is going to come with some challenges sometimes. And part of meeting those challenges is identifying what those are. Sometimes that's making a list. And then being willing to set those things aside and say goodbye to those things. Sometimes saying thank you for that season that brought growth, change, and development in our lives. This week, the kids asked me, Daddy, why do trees have growth rings? Why do trees have growth rings? And so I tried to describe growth rings, and that each ring represents a season of growth, and how it's important for a tree not just to have deep roots, but also for the trunk, for the base of the tree, for the core of the tree also to grow and to expand. And what's fascinating is you can look at those growth rings and you can see this was a season there was a lot of water, or this was a season there wasn't a whole lot going on during that season that helped nourish that tree. And yet each ring signifies a period of time in the life, the history of that tree. And we as well have those growth rings in our life. I'd like to begin here this morning talking about change and how change can be painful at times in our life. But when we have hope and hope that endures in our lives, we can pass through that space of change. But I want to do it with a reminder of who Christ is and what Christ is doing in our lives from a very beautiful passage of Scripture. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And if y'all would just, let's do this in the form of a group meditation and prayer. Why don't we all just close our eyes for a second? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this passage, just a very short line. And together, let's go ahead and repeat it back. All right, and then I'm going to repeat just a smaller portion of the Scripture, and we'll repeat that back together, and then just an even smaller portion of that Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 is this. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Let's all say that together. My life is hidden with Christ in God. To meditate is just simply to set the course, or the direction of our thinking is to say it over and over again, just to think about something, to repeat it, to say it again is what meditation is all about. Sometimes it's stopping that tape that we've been programmed to think in our minds a particular direction, and meditation helps us to stop that tape and to hear God's perspective in our lives, and to have a new God tape replace the old tape. Let's say this together. Colossians 3, verse 3, my life is hidden with Christ in God. And again, my life is hidden with Christ in God. My life is hidden with Christ Now we'll just say this line, my life is hidden with Christ. Ready? My life is hidden with Christ. And now my life is hidden. My life is hidden. Jesus, we thank you for these moments we have together today, and we just come to you acknowledging that this has been a really traumatic week in so many different ways for our nation, for Texas. Father, there's been a lot of thoughts, there's been a lot of fear, a lot of response to the circumstances that have not been following the way of love that Jesus laid out. And so we just right now remind ourselves that our lives are hidden with Christ in God, and that nothing can take us out of that secret place, that hiding place that we have with you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus. I bless my brothers and sisters here in this place and in this time with just a fresh confidence, a fresh hope of knowing that we are not alone, that you are with us, even in those times of change and transition. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I just want to take a few moments and talk about dominoes, sailboats, and a circular saw blade. There are those moments in our lives when we've worked really hard. Remember the first time you had a domino moment in your life? How old were you that first time that someone put dominoes in front of you and explained that you could set those dominoes up? My dad loved dominoes as a kid growing up. It was one of the most exciting moments when my dad would get the dominoes out on our big dining room table and began setting up the dominoes, one after another after another. And as a kid, of course, Dad didn't want us to touch the table, because what happened if we touched the table? Sometimes it would shake and it would knock one of those dominoes over that we had worked so hard, that Dad had worked so hard to set up. And each of us have those places in our lives where we work hard to set it up just right, and we get it all lined up. If you will, all our ducks are in a row and we're ready to start shooting, and then what happens? The duck flies off and our ducks are no longer in a row. There are those times where in change we are caught off guard or surprised as the dominoes begin to fall, because all of a sudden the way that we had envisioned, the way we had pictured, the way that we had thought that God was telling us it was going to be, or what it was going to look like, or how things were supposed to work, all of a sudden things were changing before they were supposed to change, or they were changing in a way that we had not planned or prepared for them to change. Dominoes is a lot of fun in our lives, but when the domino at the front is not the one that you accidentally tip, but it's actually the one in the middle that decides to fall, and things fall too soon in a way that you weren't anticipating, can be a little bit frustrating. I remember my dad saying, "Ryan, put your hands in your lap. Don't touch the table again." Each of us have been there as parents as we've tried to help our children with something, whether it's playing with a game or teaching or instructing something that's important. And as we grow up, we experience many people telling us, if you get the right education, then you'll be able to do what? Get the right job. If you get the right job, then you'll be able to start saving for your retirement. And if you save for your retirement, when you hit a certain age, you will be able to retire in the way that you have planned and prepared all of these years. Oh, did I mention if you comb your hair and brush your teeth, you'll get the right spouse and you'll have the perfect number within your family, whether that's four-legged family members or two-legged family members within your family. There are those moments where things change and things shift, and in our lives, we can respond one of two ways. We can be excited because we're looking at the change with anticipation. This is a good change. But then there are those moments in our lives where the change that comes is something that we have to endure through the change. We may even use a term such as a trial or tribulation through change in our lives. How do you respond to the dominoes falling? Okay, go. This too shall pass. That's red paint, by the way. As a kid, we would spend hours setting up our little... whether it was with Legos or dominoes. The piano, I love it. This too shall pass. Let it go. This too shall pass. You know how many times they practiced? They set it up, and they set it up, and they set it up, and they set it up. Well, you saw the paint on those four gentlemen? That's how many times they had practiced. They had practiced a few times and had gotten hit by paint a few times. There are those moments in our lives, especially in change and transition, where we have to stop. We have to remind ourselves what Jesus said in John 16, verse 33. Read this together with me. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. It doesn't mean that there won't be tribulation in our lives. One of the coolest things that I experienced as a kid was having the opportunity as a Boy Scout to work on different merit badges. And one of my favorite merit badges of all time was small boat sailing. Small boat sailing. This was a merit badge where you got to take the water and the weather and God's creation all around you and connect it all together in one place. I remember being about 13, 14 years old and going to summer camp. And as a kid going to summer camp, I was so excited because I was going to get to do not just small little sailboats, but I was going to get to do a big sailboat, a catamaran. This thing was huge. And so I was so pumped. And one of the requirements as a scout going to summer camp was that you had to get the handbook and you had to read through it because there were certain requirements that you would have to complete with your instructor. Like show that you know what first aid might be needed for being out on the water. You need to be able to explain CPR and demonstrate CPR. You need to swim so far, pass your swimmer's test. You need to be able to describe the requirements for a boat to be safe and be put into the water. Let me go all the way down here. There's over 10. There towards the end, there's this one that is a little bit disturbing. And this is what it says. This is a perfectly good sailboat that you have in the water. All right? And this is the requirement. Demonstrate the rescue of a man overboard and capsize procedures. Demonstrate the rescue of a man overboard and capsize procedures. Y'all know what capsize is? Capsize is when your boat turns upside down. So I read that and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then there's this little star at the end of this requirement. This is requirement 6F in the old school merit badge book for small boat sailing. And it has this little star, and that star says this. Capsize procedures should be conducted under the close supervision of a counselor. A rescue boat should be standing by to assist if necessary and to tow the capsized craft ashore. Self-bailing boats are acceptable for this requirement. Extreme care should be taken to avoid personal injury and damage to the boat or its equipment. So the deal is that you're taking a perfectly good boat and you are, while the sails, all the rigging is up, you are capsizing it and turning it upside down in the water. I don't know if you've ever tried to turn a boat over like a canoe that's in the water, but as soon as you get water inside that boat or as soon as there is suction that that boat makes on the top of the water, this little scrawny 13-year-old was not going to get that flipped over, nor were any of his fellow scouts at scout camp going to get that flipped over. It was intense. Plus, the previous season, some kids had failed to connect the little safety line that holds the mast, the main mast for the sailboat, to the sailboat. And so when they flipped it, you know, it went to the bottom of the lake. The mast, along with the sail, went to the bottom of the lake. There are these moments in our lives when we look at this is something that's perfectly good, and I'm happy with this right now. And yet, in preparation for life and in our experience with God, the path that we are on takes us to a place where we literally have to flip the boat that we have been in that's been keeping us out of the water and jump in the water. And it's for preparation for the future. The Boy Scouts' motto is what? Be prepared. And so as a scout, we were not allowed to get into a boat until we had gone through certain training just in case the worst possible situation or outcome happened in our lives. And when there is change and when there is transition in our lives, we can find ourselves in that place where God, you're not just calling me to step out of the boat, a Peter moment, but you're calling me to jump into the water and flip it over because there are some things that I need to learn that if I didn't learn and experience what I'm supposed to experience, I wouldn't have the confidence, I wouldn't have been prepared for that next stage or that next place, that next season that God is preparing me for, that season that God is preparing you for in your life. A capsized boat is not something that you expect to see when you look out over a lake. You expect to see sailboats sailing and not upside down. Sometimes in our lives, we've experienced those moments of capsized crafts. How do we respond in those situations? Jesus said, in the world you will have what? Tribulation. Tribulation. That tribulation is the idea of resistance in our lives. So a sail, if you will, is a perfect demonstration of something that holds back the resistance, but it does it in a way that it pushes us forward. What is it holding back? It's holding back the wind. It's trying to anyways, unless it's anchored to the dock or you've dropped a line in the water. What does that resistance, what does that tribulation in your life do? It pushes you forward, just like it pushes the boat forward as the wind fills the sails and moves that sailboat forward. In the world, you'll have tribulation. I can look at those things that are uncomfortable. I can look at those things that I do not like. I can look at those things that I would not wish upon my worst enemy on good days. On bad days, sometimes I do wish some bad things against my worst enemies. But on good days, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And yet, I am experiencing it. You are experiencing the tribulation in your life of that force of the winds of this life that push you in certain directions. Whatever your ship is right now, whatever that place of safety, this is holding me out of the water and it's taking me to where I need to go. If someone were to look at you and say, by the way, as you capsize, be aware that it can be dangerous to life and limb and also to your equipment, but I want you to go ahead and do it anyway. You may step back and say, in the metaphoric sense, okay, I follow you, Ryan, but I'm really not ready to step out of the boat, not just step out of the boat, but jump out of the boat and be a part of capsizing. What's beautiful about this merit badge is that you learn how to right a boat with the assistance of a buddy boat. You don't try to do this on your own. There are those who are with you who have experienced the drill before that come alongside you in your craft and help you to right that boat. It can take upwards to six boys, Boy Scouts, to flip over that boat. And sometimes not just one buddy boat is required, but you may need two boats to be able to get enough leverage to pull that craft upright again. But the deal is that God sets in motion that support in your life and in my life for when we go through those moments of capsize, being capsized in our life. In the world, you'll have tribulation. The world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. One of my favorite gifts when I first got married was a little battery-operated DeWalt saw, circular saw. Once you look at this circular saw, there are times in our lives when we like to hang out and reside in those sharp places. I feel sharp, top of my game, got it all going. We might call that the mountaintop experience. Everything's going well. Anyone know what it means to try to use a dull knife? Theodosia has a kitchen knife that has seen a lot of years of use, and it comes to a particular point in her using that tool that she says, okay, this is enough, I need to have it sharpened. When this becomes dull, it needs a little attention, but I want you to look and follow. There's not just a blade on a circular saw. What is there? There's also this, we call it a valley. Have you ever looked at your blade and said, wow, that's not very sharp. I'm going to take this blade back because the whole blade is not sharp. In order for the circular saw to be efficient and effective, it has to have high points and low points. It has to have these places on the blade that are sharp and then places on the blade that are a little bit dull. And in my life, I always try to be sharp, and I want to stay sharp. I'm going to stay on top of things. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to forget anything. I want to be sharp. I don't know about you. I want to stay sharp with my relationship with my wife. I want to stay sharp with my relationship with my kids. I want to stay sharp in the field that I work every day in. I want to stay sharp in my relationships with those in the community. What about God? God as well. I want to stay sharp with my relationships with God. But I have to remember that there are times where I'm sharp and high efficient output times, but then there's times of rest. There's times where I need to be recharged. There's times where that dull point on the blade is okay, and it's a part of God's engineering who I am and who I am becoming. Because in order for me to come back to that place where I am sharp and I am fresh and I'm able to cut through whatever I need to cut through in whatever situation I'm in, that I need to take some time and I need to be willing to go down that tooth of that saw blade. Because until I go down, I'm not going to be able to come back up again. And that's hard because, again, I like to be sharp all the time. I like to have it all together. I like to feel like I'm fresh, that nothing can stop me in my life. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, or have courage, or live with hope. I have overcome the world. There are those moments when I am experiencing that overcoming power and life of Christ in my life, and then I feel as though I'm going through that low place, that valley place, that shadow place in my life, those shadow places that I really do not want to acknowledge or to go towards or to experience. And yet, the same God who is leading me on the mountaintops is also the one who says, I'm walking with you through the valley of the shadow of what? Death. And Ryan, you don't have to fear evil just because you're not on top of your game, Mr. Performance Driven Self, or Miss Performance Driven Self. Just because there's a little bit of a break, a little bit of a breather, just as you breathe out and then you breathe in, it's in preparation for that change and that transition. Whether it's a change or transition you have solicited, or it's a change or transition that has come upon you and those dominoes have pushed the lever and has begun the succession of one falling after another in our lives. The Apostle Paul said, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Would you all read that with me? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There are those moments where I'm sharp and I'm fresh and I'm rejoicing. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And I love hanging out with those who have overcome the world. I don't know about you. Those who are at the top of their game. Those who are riding high. And yet I have to be honest about myself and my own life, that I have periods in my life where I am rejoicing 100%, and then I begin to, what, experience those times in my life and those seasons where I have some things to weep over, just like you may have some seasons that there's some things to weep over. So as brothers and sisters, as men and women who receive Christ's love and share Christ's love, it's important that we stop and we listen to our Lord and Savior and ask the question, is this a weeping moment or is this a rejoicing moment? Because you have overcome the world and I need your discernment. I need your understanding as my friends, as I experience in my own heart change and transition. Rejoicing and weeping. Times of great celebration. Times of mourning in my life. mourning for what I wish could have happened, mourning for what I wish I could have been, mourning for those things that are in the past that I regret, but also rejoicing in the hope of the future. The God who says, I will never leave you or forsake you, even when you are facing and experiencing your own, when I am facing and I am experiencing my own darkness in my life. Again this morning, dominoes, a sailboat, and a circular saw blade. Colossians 3:3. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Through the turbulence, through the rejoicing, and through the weeping in my life. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Let's take a moment, and just as we began this morning, let's close. So let's close our eyes and just take a few moments of silence here together, and just close your eyes, take a deep breath. Wherever you are in your transition today, maybe you're that sharp blade. Maybe you're in that low valley place. Regardless, your life is hid with Christ and God. Just take a moment and in your own heart, in your own mind, repeat this simple truth that is who you are today. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Father in heaven, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus, and we thank you that the promises of God are yes and amen. So we just set in this very simple yet profound truth. Father, I pray that it would go deeper than just intellectual understanding. But that our hearts would be open afresh and anew to receive this transformational truth. So simple yet profound, so many layers. I bless my brothers and sisters with continued desire to walk with you, Jesus, talk with you, Jesus, throughout the day. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this beautiful promise that you'll lead us into all truth. So we just pause right now and say, our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes are open to see where you're leading us. Thank you that each of our lives are hidden with Christ and God. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sometimes we read a scripture and it's missing something. Have you ever done that? Read a scripture and it was missing something? I've read the scripture many times and I've missed it. But when I had somebody look me in the eye, say, Ryan, your life is hid with Christ and God. Flesh and blood manifested that reality of who God is and what God has done. Your life is hid with Christ and God. Let's conclude this morning with walking around to one another and just reminding each other, speaking that truth into each other this morning. Your life is hid with Christ and God. God bless you. Let's all stand.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.